From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian government sets indicative 2024 budget ceiling at $66.92 billion. Indonesia to expedite completion of the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Partnership Agreement negotiations. Now the news in detail. The total indicative budget ceiling for the central government in 2024 will reach $66.92 billion, with the policy direction of government spending including priority spending. Several principles have already been conveyed by President Joko Widodo that the national priorities have to be resolved. This was pointed out by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati during the 2023 Central Development Coordination Meeting, as quoted by Antara on Friday. She also pointed out that there are no new initiatives that will make the programs or projects incomplete. In addition to priority spending, the policy's direction will also encompass central regional synergy, human resource quantity spending, consolidation of human resource quality development fund sources, and downstreaming, as well as green economy support. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto stated that substantial completion of the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Partnership Agreement would be expedited to utilize the economic cooperation potential between the two parties. During President Joko Widodo's meeting in the European Union, the government had already targeted to complete the negotiation this year. Speaking during the Eurochamp Position Papers 2023 unveiling, as quoted from a statement quoted by Antara on Friday, he said Indonesia is currently establishing economic relations with countries in Europe through participation in the international exhibition Hannover Messe in Germany. Minister of Youth and Sports Dito Aryo Tejo is relieved with FIFA's decision to freeze funding for the Indonesian Football Association as a punishment for refusing entry to the Israeli team for the U20 World Cup, which has subsequently led to the stripping of Indonesia's hosting rights for the tournament. He also said that the funding sanction is not as harsh as being frozen from the international football. As reported by Tempo.co, Minister Dito further stated that the restriction on the use of FIFA forward funds until further notice will not interfere with the soccer competition agenda in Indonesia. He added that in this year's FIFA's Forward 3.0 program, FIFA disbursed $5 million to be distributed to developing countries. The schedule for the Indonesian U22 national team for the SEA Games 2023 has been released. The Garuda squad will open a series of matches in Cambodia against the Philippines. As reported by Tempo.co, based on the schedule released by the organizer on Friday, April 7th, Indonesia will start the Group A preliminary round match against the Philippines at Morodok Teco National Stadium in Phnom Penh on April 29. Indonesia will play four matches during the preliminary round. After fighting the Philippines, they will face Myanmar on May the 4th, Timor Leste on May the 7th, and finally face the host Cambodia on May the 10th. The Indonesian national team is said to be in a relatively light group. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. China says it has started 3 days of military exercises around Taiwan in an announcement that comes after the island democracy's president met the U.S. House Speaker in defiance to repeated threats by Beijing. As reported by CNN.com, the Chinese Military Eastern Theater Command announced the drill Saturday, describing them as a serious warning against the Taiwan separatist forces' collusion with external forces and a necessary move to defend national sovereignty and territorial integrity. The exercises, dubbed United Sharp Sword, would feature combat-ready patrols and exercises in and around the Taiwan Strait and to the north, south, and east of Taiwan, and the sea and airspace as planned, Senior Colonel Xi Yi of the People's Liberation Army Eastern Theater Command said in a statement on Saturday. Vietnamese Prime Minister Pham Minh Chinh received Malaysian Ambassador Dato' Tan Yang Thai and Cambodian Ambassador Chi Kim Tha in Hanoi on Friday. At the meeting with the Malaysian Ambassador, Prime Minister Chinh affirmed that Vietnam values the friendship and strategic partnership with Malaysia. He expected that the ambassador during his term will actively promote his role as an important bridge to develop this relationship more deeply and effectively. As reported by VOV.fvn, the ambassador pledged to make effort to further the cooperative ties between the two countries, especially in agriculture, halal industry, education, training, digital transformation, digital security, and science technology. UK-based charity Action for Humanity has launched a full-scale emergency appeal to help Palestinians affected by escalating violence in the Palestinian territories. As reported by ArabNews.com, the organization has been working in Palestine since 2021. In addition to delivering humanitarian aid during the past two waves of violence, it said it has helped to provide access to food, clean water, and medical services for Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza, and offer support for orphans. Its teams in Palestine are now assessing the growing humanitarian needs, it added, and plan to deliver aid to those most in need to help save lives. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. first news comes from Mojokerto, East Java. The government of the city of Mojokerto, East Java, is holding a contest to create a Mojokerto-style batik design to protect the ancestral cultural heritage and strengthen the city's branding as a tourism city based on history and culture. The mayor of Mojokerto, Ika Puspitasari, said on Wednesday that 11 works of batik motifs created by 8 artisans from the city of Mojokerto participated in the competition evaluation. She hopes that this event will be able to give birth to new batik makers in Mojokerto City and enrich the repertoire of typical Mojokerto City batik motifs that are registered in the intellectual property rights. The next news comes from Palembang, South Sumatra. The South Sumatra Province Culture and Tourism Office held a short film competition which was open to high school or vocational high school students and university students throughout Indonesia. Registration for the competition titled E40 Festival Film Palembang is open from March the 20th to May the 31st in collaboration with the national telecommunication company PT E40 Solusi Infotech and the local South Sumatran film community. Head of the Culture and Tourism Office of South Sumatra, Alfa Syahrizal, said in Palembang on Wednesday that this activity was to build the competence of students in the non-academic field, especially in filmmaking. The competition was held as part of a series to enliven the 31st Sriwijaya Festival Tourist Calendar, which will be held from June the 22nd to 26th at Plaza Benteng Kuto Besak, Palembang. The theme set by the committee for each short film that was contested was the variety of arts and culture in Palembang City, the center of the 7th century Sriwijaya Kingdom. The last news from across Indonesia comes from Pekalongan, Central Java. The government of Pekalongan City, Central Java, has agreed to the holding of the Sawalan tradition of cutting giant lopis, which is planned to be held on April the 29th, or after a week of Idul Fitri, or a week after Idul Fitri celebration. Lopis is a popular cake made from sticky rice and coconut milk, wrapped in banana leaf and usually enjoyed with palm sugar sauce and grated coconut. Giant lopis is a means to strengthen the ties of friendship among residents and member of the Krapia Giant Lopis Organizing Committee Pekalongan City, Iwan Kurniawan, said the organizer planned to make giant lopis 2 meters in size like last year. This lopis will be placed in Lopis Park near the Krapia River. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on April 8, 1938, when Kofi Annan was born in Kumasi. Kofi Atta Annan is a Ghanaian diplomat who served as the 7th Secretary General of the United Nations from January 1997 to December 2006. He joined the United Nations in 1962 and worked at the Geneva branch of the World Health Organization. Later, he held several positions at UN headquarters, including Deputy Secretary General for Peacekeeping from March 1992 to December 1996. Kofi was elected as the Secretary General of the United Nations on December 13, 1996 by the Security Council and was approved by the General Assembly. He became the first Secretary General to come from among the United Nations staff. Kofi Annan was elected to a second term in 2001. With the United Nations, Annan received the 2001 Nobel Peace Prize. Let's move to another event of 2020 when Indonesian male singer Glenn Fredly passed away. Glenn Fredly Deviano Latui Hamalo passed away on April 8, 2020 due to meningitis he suffered. During his life, the man who was born on September 13, 1975 was known as a singer who was critical of the problems that occurred in Indonesia. Besides being a singer, he's also known as a songwriter, producer, and actor. Glenn Fredly's solo career began in 1998 with the release of an album entitled Glenn. Glenn Fredly is popular not only in Indonesia, but also in Malaysia and Singapore. In 2000, he won an award in Malaysia as the Best Indonesian Album and in Singapore as Best Song of Listener's Choice. We enter the in history with the event on April 8, 2005 when Pope John Paul II was buried. Pope John Paul II's funeral began with the ringing of bells in St. Peter's Basilica on April 8, 2005 at exactly 10 a.m. The devotional ceremony was presided over by Cardinal Josef Ratzinger from Germany. The applause of the people who filled St. Peter's Square resounded after Cardinal Josef Ratzinger read his opening speech. Pope John Paul II's funeral was attended by a number of heads of state, including United States President George W. Bush, Australian Prime Minister Tony Blair, Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, Iranian President Ali Khatami, and a number of leaders in Palestine and other countries, including Prince Charles of England. Pope John Paul II passed away at the age of 84 at his residence in Vatican City on April 2, 2005. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Something that I couldn't see and somehow fade internally. If you came a long way to get to know me, and maybe it just meant to be.
Come here, I just found a new recipe. The flower
star. It may seem you wanna be in love. I don't care, it's taking me apart. But I just couldn't save you tonight. Falling in love is a new world for me. Do you wanna be my company? From thousands of miles you will like it in here. No need, no necessary. And maybe you wanna be a star. It may seem you wanna be in love. I don't care. Save you tonight. just couldn't save you tonight. And maybe you wanna be a star. It may seem you wanna be loved. I don't care, it's taking me apart. And I just couldn't save you tonight.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Government to Develop Marketplace to be the King of E-commerce. The Republic of Indonesia Government Goods and Services Procurement Policy Institute is currently developing a government marketplace. Head of the agency, Hendrar Prihadi, in a press release Wednesday said that the platform is part of the development of e-purchasing system through the electronic catalog, which is currently running. In developing the government marketplace platform, it is supported and collaborated with PT Telkom Indonesia. Head of Indonesian Government Goods Services Procurement Policy Institute targets a total transaction value in 2023, actually 500 trillion rupiah, through a platform developed with Telkom Indonesia. According to Hendrar Prihadi, the target transaction value is greater than the total value of e-purchasing transactions in Indonesia in 2022. He explained, in a Bank Indonesia report, it was recorded at 476.3 trillion rupiah. With this target, the developed government marketplace has the potential to dominate e-commerce transaction in the country. Hendrar Prihadi said that one of Indonesia Government Goods Services Procurement Policy Institute's innovations was to encourage government construction work transaction to be carried out through the e-purchasing method through the electronic catalog system. Furthermore, he stated that so far, the government construction work transactions are generally understood to be carried out through a tender system. Even so, according to him, these transactions can be carried out more effectively and efficiently using the e-purchasing method through a platform prepared by the agency. Hendrar also said that at this time, it was proven that several local governments had carried out construction work through the e-purchasing method, including the city of Semarang, Blitar Regency, Aceh, and Jakarta. Meanwhile, Telkom Indonesia GovTech Procurement Project Director Rahmat Danu Andika said, Telkom is fully committed to supporting the Indonesian Goods Procurement Policy Institute in developing the government marketplace. He added, Telkom Indonesia is also said to have started to make efforts to periodically improve the system so that it can be aligned with the set transaction targets. That was My Indonesia Today.
Sangat menyebalkan bagiku saat ku harus bersabar dan terus bersabar menantikan kehadiran dirimu. Entah sampai kapan aku harus menunggu sesuatu yang sangat sulit untuk ku jalani. Hidup dalam kesendirian sepi tanpamu. Kadang ku berpikir cari penggantimu saat kau jauh di sana. Tiada kabarmu ku curiga. Entah penantian ku takkan sia-sia. Dan berikan satu jawaban pasti. Entah sampai kapan aku harus bertahan. Saat kau jauh di sana rasa cemburu
masuk ke dalam pikiranku melayang. Tak tentu arah tentang dirimu. Apakah sama yang kau rasakan? Walau raga kita terpisah jauh, namun hatiku tak selalu dekat. Bila kau rindu, pejamkan matamu dan rasakan aku. Kekuatan cinta kita takkan pernah rapuh, terhapus ruang dan waktu. Percayakan kesetiaan ini pada ketulusan Aishite.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Sekubal from Lampung. Sekubal is a typical food of the people of Lampung. Usually, they serve sekubal, which is made from glutinous rice, coconut milk, and salt during Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr. At first glance, the food wrapped in banana leaves and elongated round shape is similar to lontong. The difference is that lontong is made from ordinary rice. The process of making sekubal is complicated and it requires perseverance. Therefore, this special food is difficult to find because only a few people still have the interest to make it. The process of making sekubal takes some hours. At first, the glutinous rice along with coconut milk, bay leaves and salt is made dairon, which means the rice is soaked in water first and then steamed half-cooked. Moreover, the half-cooked glutinous rice is placed in a container. Afterwards, the process is to flush the sticky rice using coconut milk that has been boiled and then add enough salt to taste. After that, the mixture is steamed again until perfectly cooked. While waiting for the sticky rice and coconut milk to be well cooked, prepare a mold that is 16 centimeters in size and 1 centimeter in thickness. The cold sticky rice is put into the mold. Then the cake is removed from the mold and wrapped in banana leaves and arranged in layers. Then just tie the banana leaves by using a rope and wrap it again for about 2 hours. After that, remove it and the skubal cake is ready to be served. Listener, the process of wrapping skubal must also be done carefully, so that when it is steamed, the skubal package doesn't break and tear. Next, the skubal package is steamed for 6 to 8 hours using low heat. The longer steaming time will produce a softer and more durable skubal. Skubal can last up to 1 week if stored in the refrigerator. When eaten, skubal must first be steamed. If placed at a room temperature, skubal can only last for 3 days. The process at the time of roasting is also to the key of producing delicious skubal. Listener, skubal is usually served with rendang, chicken opor, and black sticky tape, because skubal can be eaten as a sweet or savory dish. It can even be used as a dessert when eaten with sweet black sticky rice. Along with the times, now there are skubal flavors of chocolate, milk, and cheese. Skubal is always present, especially when celebrating holidays, because skubal contains a philosophy that describes local culture, namely the sticky nature of sticky rice, which illustrates a close sense of kinship. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Somebody, I'll find somebody.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, after the choices for logos of the new capital city of Nusantara or IKN were released and the public can start to vote since last April 4th, another news comes from the development of IKN. The Indonesian government through the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing has officially released a detailed spatial plan and land use map for the new capital city of Nusantara. As much as 63% of the 6,600 hectares of the total IKN land area will be designated as urban forest. Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono revealed that the city forest covering an area of more than 50% means that the construction of IKN was still in the corridor of the Smart Forest City. The map shows details of the central government core area in IKN. The urban forest area can be seen surrounding the central government area, stretching from the south to southwest, northwest, north to the northeast. Then the government buildings are located in the middle of the central government core area. The 100-hectare land is planned to be built for the presidential palace, making it the largest complex in the government area. Meanwhile, the vice presidential palace will be built on an area of 14.58 hectares, and other government offices such as the Indonesian House of Representatives, People Consultative Assembly, Regional Representative Council building will later be built on an area of 41.81 hectares. The Supreme Court, Constitutional Court, and Judicial Commission complex is built on an area of 15.16 hectares. For the ministry's buildings, the construction will receive an allocation of 1 to 5 hectares of land. Not only centered on government buildings, other infrastructure buildings such as places of worship, health facilities, and commerce have also been mapped and spread in the capital city of Nusantara. This also includes residential houses to vertical housing. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Oh,
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Kenanglah Aku by Keroncong Nation. The song Kenanglah Aku, which in English means Recall Me, was composed by Ode Wijaya and popularized by the band NAF. Released in 2009, this song tells about someone who suddenly leaves her lover. In fact, at that time, he really loved her girlfriend. He also wants her girlfriend to come back to him. Well, listener, here is Keroncong Nation with the Keroncong song entitled Kenanglah Aku.
Yang terdalam
Voice of Indonesia.
Manakala mentari tua lelah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.